There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is Rocket Queen, a lead guitarist in the all-female Norwegian rock and roll band, The Cocktail Slippers. They're based in Oslo, and they've been active since 2001. Their latest digital single is Be The One, and it's off their upcoming album Shout It Out Loud, which is due out September the 17th on Wicked Cool Records. The tune is also a recent coolest song in the world, and we'll hear a bit of it now, followed by my chat with Rocket Queen on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. With you on our coolest conversations, and my guest for today's chat is Stina Bendiksen, better known as Rocket Queen, and she is the lead guitarist in the all-gal Norwegian band The Cocktail Slippers. Hey Rocket, how are you?
Hey Manfred, I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there pretty good, I believe. You know, it's I was looking back through my records, and it's been almost exactly to the week, 3 years from last we spoke, and my goodness, what changes the world has been going through. So
yeah,
how have you, your family, friends, and band been doing during this pandemic?
Well, first off, I'm actually now sitting in my parents' place in Denmark. This is where I grew up, and I haven't been able to see my family for more than a year because of the pandemic. And it's been just way too difficult to travel between countries. So that's been kind of stupid. Other than that, you know, the band's been good. We've been rehearsing. We haven't had any gigs, obviously, but we've been finishing our record, which is good, which is cool.
Which is very cool. In fact, we'll start talking about that in a moment, but you said something that I wasn't aware of. So are you from Denmark originally?
Yeah, I grew up in Denmark, and then I moved to Norway when I was 17, and I was just going to be there for a couple of months, but you know, well, life happened.
Well, what took you to Sweden then? Was it school, or what was the reason for going there at 17?
Well, I didn't go to Sweden. I went to Norway.
Let me say that over again.
No, I was just starting an education in Denmark. I wanted to be like a costume designer. You know, the prospects of getting a real good job was not too good. And also I was a little bit tired of living here. And then an opportunity showed up to stay in Norway for a couple of months, looking after kids in like a remote place far in a woods. It's just, and then I just really liked it there. And then obviously I met someone, and, you know, then I met more people, and then ended up staying there.
Wow, very cool. Oh, well, one more thing about this pandemic thing I was wondering about. Here in the U.S., there's plenty of vaccine supply, but also there's a significant amount of people not willing to take it. What's the situation like in Norway?
more or less the other way around, I think. I mean, most people in Scandinavia are more than happy to take the vaccines to get back to their more normal life. But we don't really have enough vaccines to get everybody vaccinated, at least for a good while. I think in Norway, we're supposed to be done maybe at the end of the year or something.
I was looking at your Cocktail Slippers Facebook page, and there are posts on there about all the different members and what they're doing for their vacations. What was your vacation this summer?
Different. I was supposed to spend 2 weeks. I was supposed to spend 4 weeks with my boyfriend, but it ended up just being 1 week in Norway, and then I had to fly to Denmark because they changed, you know, the rules, because they're increasing number of people getting infected by this virus thing in Denmark. So it's just, I really wanted to make sure that I could meet my family after such a long time. And yeah, so I'm going to be staying here for another week, and then I have to go like 10 days sitting at home doing absolutely nothing, meeting nobody. It's going to be so boring.
So you yes. go to a quarantine afterwards. Wow. This 1 week of vacation that you had before you went to visit your family, what did you do for that? Was it some side of rafting?
Yes, it was. You do pay attention. Yeah. Now, my boyfriend comes from the west coast of Norway, which is also where Hope, the main vocalist's family, is originally from. And there are a lot of beautiful mountains, beautiful rivers, fjords, and then I went rafting on one of those fjords, and it was very exciting, I must say.
Wow, very cool. So how much vacation do you get in Norway? I mean, is there, you get a couple of weeks every year, or is it you get a whole month, or?
Well, in Norway, we have, most people have 5 weeks of vacation, but then you have to, you know, divide it. But this year, we decided that we wanted to have 4 weeks during summer to finally stay together, but then that got spoiled because of COVID as well. But yeah, like 5 weeks.
Oh, 5 weeks, that's a whole lot. Do you ever feel guilty about that? Like maybe you have too much vacation and you really should be working more?
Absolutely not. I should be playing more and have even more vacation, if you ask me.
Man, well, that's you know, I agree. All right, so the new studio album, Shout It Out Loud, that is due out September the 17th. That's a Friday, coming out on Wicked Cool Records. And it features our coolest song of the world this week, Be The One. And when I was looking over my notes, it tells me that it's a group composition. So let me know if that's really correct. Is it a group composition? And tell me about how the song came together.
Yeah, we always do that, because no song would ever be a Cocktail Slippers song if everybody wasn't contributing to it, you know? Yeah. So someone might have an idea or whatever, but at the end, you know, so we just always do that, you know? But how did it come together? Well, I think we were just jamming at some point, and then a guitar riff came up, and then we started doing some stuff with it, and then just turned out to be a really cool song, and then... And it was like, what are we going to write about this time? You know? And then it was like, well, do you remember when you could just walk in a bar and there were so many people, you could not walk from one part to the other without getting beer spilled all over you? That's more or less what it's about, you know? These crowded nights when you get a little bit too drunk and you wind up maybe with the wrong guy and, you know, well, it's just, you know...
Well, that's interesting. So, well, two things here. One, I want to get back to thinking about specifically the song in a moment, but as you were talking about trying to work up material and jamming, you know, everybody's playing together. So in my experience, it's not gets the guys I've always played with. Jamming, it just rarely leads to anything worth, you know. It's the best songs always seem to be come out of as someone having a definite idea of what they're trying to do and then communicating with the others, and other people can contribute, but just getting and just trying to play on something, you know, 99 times out of 100, that's never resulted in anything. But for you guys, you seem to have success to working that way often.
Yeah. I mean, we do both, you know, I mean, we all come in with different ideas to songs and have like more specific ideas to what kind of genre or whatever it should be. But most of the time it's just like a small riff or a line or, you know, whatever. And then we start working with it, all of us. And then it takes time. I will give you that. But I mean, we find that that's a really cool way to work out songs.
So what's interesting here about the way you were describing the sort of the idea of be the one describing a bar and, you know, possibly making wrong decisions, remembering those times, is that as I listened to the song, I was thinking that, oh, this is such a romantic kind of idea here, you know, wanting to be that special someone for somebody else. So maybe I missed that. But are you much of a romantic yourself?
Too much of a romantic. Well, yeah, yes, I am. I am very romantic. And maybe originally the chorus was about, you know, finding that one person. Mm-hmm. But you can also feel that way when you're walking home with a total stranger at 3 at night, you know? I mean, this is it. Yeah.
When I spoke to your lead singer, Hope, and this was several weeks back, she told us about, you know, working with producer Mike Hartung. And I hadn't heard of Mike before, so I looked him up, looked at his bio up online, and said something about him being from Los Angeles, and he relocates to Oslo, and he'd work with groups from a-ha to black metal bands. Can you remind us how you guys met and what got you working together with Mike?
I think Hope knew her and knew him a little bit from before, but he actually did some of the mixing and the mastering on our previous record, People Talk. So that's how we met. And then we always talked about, well, let's do something together. And then just never really happened. And then all of a sudden, just everything just fell into pieces. He had the time, we had the time, we had to finish the record. And he has so many great ideas. He's such a nice guy to work with. And, you know, he just really gets it. So he's cool. He's really cool.
Well, thinking about great ideas that he came up with, was there anything that he thought to do on Be the One?
No, but I love him for agreeing with me when I said this take is a one take. And there is a few little mistakes there, but it was just like, you know, the feeling of just, this is it. Maybe someone else, oh, you do one more. And then, you know, I'm like, nope. And Mike was like, nope, that's it.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I know your song, She Devil, Shout It Out Loud, that was inspired by the ways you and the band had been treated over the years as female rockers and mostly a dude work atmosphere. Am I remembering that right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. So obviously it wasn't that way working with Mike. Was there any one thing or said he did at the beginning of your sessions that put your mind at ease or let you know right away that everything was going to work out all right with him as a producer?
Yeah, we played one of the demos for him and he said, oh, I would mix the hell out of that one. And the drums, my God. And then he started talking about the sound on the hi-hat and I was just like, sold. So, yeah. No, that's the thing. You know, he just really, from the first minute, he gets it. He knows what we're after.
Well, you've worked with Little Stevie before as a producer and he's listed as a producer alongside Mike. How directly was he involved in these new sessions, the new album sessions?
Well, we always like play ideas back and forth before actually going to the studio with Steven because he's, we always have like, you know, this little magic touch and stuff. And we don't always agree, but, you know, most of the time he has like really fantastic ideas that just makes the song even better, you know? And then obviously going to the studio, starting recording, then we would record and then we would send to Stevie and he would reply, you know, and I kind of think Mike was hoping a little bit that there would be something he could, you know, change or more talk to Steven and stuff. But Steven was like, fuck, this is great.
When is the last time that you've seen Steven? I mean, obviously not last year, but did you see him any in 2019 or when was the last time?
Yeah. Yeah, he did a, he was in the studio with us, just listening to some demos and stuff in 19, and then he was out playing with the Disciples of Soul, so we went to his concert. So that was the last time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so cool.
It's been a while.
Well, yeah, definitely. We got to get back to this thing. I'm telling you. And speaking of getting back to things here, now you mentioned at the outset when we started chatting here that it's been a while since you've played a live show. Can you tell me, when was the last time you did a live gig?
Well, actually, we did like 3 or 4 shows in Norway before the summer vacation. But before that, it was start of September last year, I think.
All right.
So, it's, yeah.
And these more recent shows that you did beginning of, did you say summer? Beginning of the summer?
Yeah, I think we had like one in the end of May and then some in June, as far as I remember. Yeah.
And so were these outdoor shows or were they in clubs?
They're one outdoor festival kind of thing. But, you know, it's weird when people are seated and they can't, you know, it can't get crowded and people don't get as drunk and wind up with the wrong people. You know, but it's great to be back playing at least, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Did you do any of these, what are they called, live stream things, live streaming shows?
No, we did not. No, we were thinking about it, but then it was like, it seemed like, you know, the internet was just overflooded by people playing all the time. And then we were like, nah, we might do something at one point, you know, just because we can't really tour that much. But yeah, we'd rather just play live, you know, and then... we might do a live show and then stream it if we can have an audience there at some point.
Now that sounds cool. So I mentioned the album coming out September the 17th. Do you have any gigs lined up for when the album actually comes out?
Yeah, we do. But unfortunately, obviously, just in Norway, you know, and it's kind of limited how much you can travel. But I think we have like 5 or 6 gigs coming up now, and then they actually keep coming in, which is pretty cool. So hopefully we're going to be really busy. And then we really want to go back to the States whenever we can. We want to go back.
Well, we're ready to have you back. You know, it's been too long. When was the last time that y'all played stateside?
I guess that must be like 8 years ago or something. So 8 or 9 years ago. It's really a long time ago.
Wow, man, too long. So this new album, the upcoming album, Shout It Out Loud, it closes with a version of Hush, and that's a song that Joe South wrote, and he gave it to Billy Joe Royal to do in 67, and the following year Deep Purple covered it, and they had a really big hit with it. Have you ever heard the Billy Joe Royal version?
I don't think so. I mean, I might have. I've heard some versions of it, but I've always just listened. Sorry to say, and the Deep Purple version is the one I've been listening to.
Well, that is, that is, you know, the big one, the hit one. And what's cool to me about the Billy Joe Royal version is got this cool kind of swampy guitar. And that's kind of the trademark of that version, right? That swampy guitar. And then the Deep Purple version is just heavier all the way around, plus that way cool, the organ. What is your version got that makes it stand out from the others? What's kind of your signature contribution to your version of the song, arrangement-wise? What are you doing?
You know, the answer, I think, is we don't know. And I think that's why it became that cool, you know? Yeah. We recorded it live in the studio. So the only thing that's really added is some backing vocals and then a little bit of the vocals. Everything else is just live. Even the guitar solos, there are no cutting in any of the instruments. So it's a song we've been doing live for like, I don't know, 8 years now, 7 years maybe or something like that. And we just decided that, well, you know, let's just try and record it the way we play it. And then, so we don't know. We just play it, you know.
Well, it sounds cool. Very... really got a great, big, massive sound to it, right? And I'm really impressed that, so this was just, was it a one take wonder, or did you go through it a couple of times?
I wish I could say it was a one take wonder. It wasn't. But I mean, we listened to, I think we did like 5 takes or something like that. And then it were pretty much the same, all of them. So, but yeah.
Well, very cool, because even if it wasn't a one take, one of the point is that this is a song that was very well rehearsed, and you used the the song in its entirety, and it wasn't necessary to go back and do any overdubs when you already knew what you were doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially instrumentation wise. Oh, very way cool. We're gonna listen to this. We're gonna go out with this track, and that's kind of our Kudus Conversations world premiere. Your version of Hush. But first, Rocket Queen, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Kudus Conversations.
Oh, thank you for having me, Manfred. And I'll see you in New York City as soon as possible.
Amen, sister. Well, let's lower our voices and turn up our ears now for Hush from the Cocktail Slippers in Little Steven's Underground Garage. That was Hush from the Cocktail Slippers here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Their version is available on their upcoming album, Shout It Out Loud, due out September the 17th on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's lead guitarist, Rocket Queen, for speaking with me today on our Kudus Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast, and join me next time around when my guest will be Rick Miller, lead guitarist and lead singer in Southern Culture on the Skids. We'll check in with Rick and find out about the band's latest album, At Home with Southern Culture on the Skids. That's your next Kudus Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.